Open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And while you're doing that, if you can do two things at one time, look at the person next to you and say, "Man, you look better than you did a while ago." But don't be lying in church, okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We'll begin reading in verse 1. "Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you're saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, and that He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that He appeared to Peter and then to the 12, and after that He appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then He appeared to James, and then to all the apostles, and last of all He appeared to me also, as to one abnormally born. For I am the least of the apostles and do not even deserve to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and His grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was in me. Whether then it was I or they, this is what we preach, this is what you believed. But if it's preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection?" And then look on down in verse 51, if you would, towards the end of that chapter. He goes on to say, "Listen, I tell you a mystery. We'll not all sleep, but we'll all be changed. In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we'll be changed. For the imperishable must clothe itself with imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. And when the perishable has been clothed with imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Folks, I'm telling you something. You know, we celebrate this day every year. And the world calls this day Easter. I like to call it Resurrection Sunday. Because this is the day we celebrate the greatest thing that could ever happen. The greatest thing that could ever happen is that Jesus, who came, who lived, who never sinned, became our sacrificial lamb as we looked at it last week. He shed His blood upon the cross to cover, or the Bible calls it, to atone for our sins. And when He did that, He gave us the opportunity then to proceed with what is called the gospel. The gospel is this, that we've all sinned and fallen short. We all have need. There's nobody perfect, no, not one, except Christ Himself. So His blood was perfect, shed upon the cross. And when He did that because of a great love for you and for me. Can you imagine that? So I want you to see, first of all, this morning, the perspective of the cross. Look at what it says again in verse 1. "Brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel that I preached to you when you received in which way you take your stand." The perspective of the cross. Listen, folks. We somehow, in this day and age, can't really comprehend the cruelty of the cross. Folks, I don't know, some of you may have seen the movie that was put out a few years ago, and The Passion of the Christ, and it portrayed as best as a motion picture could portray what Jesus went through. But quite honestly, if you read any of the historians of that time, there's no possible way that we could actually show somebody going through what Jesus went through without them dying. Jesus faced the cruelty of the cross. It was the most horrible death imaginable. Still to this day, people who understand how the human body works realize that this is the worst way a person could ever die. Roman citizens could not even be put to death in this manner because it was so heinous. It was only used for the worst criminals and the enemies of the empire. In addition to this torture, Jesus had already taken a Roman flogging, which killed many people who went through it. Now listen, the only reason I tell you about this is because Jesus was willing to go through this for you and for me. Now I can't even comprehend that. I can't comprehend somebody who didn't do anything wrong be willing to say, I'll go through anything for everyone else. I'll go through whatever it takes. Whatever it takes to pay the penalty and the price for these people that I love. That's the cruelty of the cross. But here's the confidence. He goes on to talk about the cross, and he goes on to talk about what Jesus went through for us. The cross is always a symbol for Christians that Jesus endured this worst possible death so that we could have the best possible life. Now, folks, this life isn't really all that long. James says in his epistle, he says, this life is like a vapor. It appears for just a little bit and it's gone. Now, some of you here that are older than me could probably still say, you know, it seems like just a few years ago, man, I was in high school. You know? Yeah. It seemed, this is gone so, it goes by so fast. It goes by so fast. I'm getting to the age where I'm going like, I don't even remember high school. Did I even go to high school? No. But the fact is, folks, we don't have a whole lot of time here on this earth. And the time that God gives us literally is His gift to us. And then what we do with that time is our gift back to Him. And the interesting thing is that Jesus was willing to go through the worst imaginable death and punishment so that we could have the very best life. In fact, it tells us in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 12, in Him and through faith in Him, we can approach God with freedom and confidence. You see, up to this point, it was like God was untouchable. You couldn't get to Him. In fact, the only person that could ever get even close to God was one of the prophets like Moses, or the high priests that were allowed to go into the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle first, later on in the temple. And you know, it was like, God is God and we can't even get close to Him, so how could we have a relationship with Him? But God so loved this world that He didn't want it to stay that way. And so He began painting a picture of how that we were going to be able to come to Him. And it was going to be coming through a sacrifice. And so for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years, the people began making sacrifices, believing those sacrifices would somehow get them closer to God. But what God was trying to paint for them was the picture that there would be a day that the Lamb of God would come. The Lamb of God, we looked at last week. The precious Lamb that was chosen on the Lamb Selection Day, by the way, sacrificed on the fourth day of Passover at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, which is, by the way, when Jesus died on the cross and said it's finished. And the veil in the temple was torn from the very top to the bottom, 60 feet high. There wasn't a priest that could climb that high and tear it down there. It was torn from the top to the bottom. See, the confidence that we have is that Jesus was willing to do this for us. 1 Corinthians, right here in this very passage we read just a moment ago, in verse 18, it says this, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it's the power of God. You see, folks, there's a point in every person's life when they've got to confront this very issue. Did Jesus really die for me? Did He really die for you to cover your sins? Now, you may have heard people preach this over and over and over again, but there's something about the Holy Spirit that as He continues to speak to your heart, you're going to begin to realize that when Jesus died on the cross, He didn't just die for the sins of the whole world, which He did. He died for you. you personally. That's how much He loves you. Now, I can't, there's no way I could number my sins. I couldn't even start, you know. I can't even imagine how that weight of sin felt as Jesus took it upon Himself. But He didn't just take my sins. The Bible says, not just for my sins, for our sins, but for the sins of the whole world in 1 John chapter 2, verse 2. It means every single sin that every person has ever committed, Jesus was willing to pay the price. That's amazing, isn't it? That's the perspective of the cross, that Jesus was willing to go through that, to be crucified, to be impaled upon a cross, and to die. Some people say, well, maybe He really didn't die. Maybe He swooned. There's a swoon theory out there. Maybe He just kind of lost consciousness and went into a coma and everybody thought He was dead. Because back then, they didn't have really good ways to check heartbeat and all that kind of thing, blood pressure. Maybe He just kind of passed out. Well, I tell you what, if I take a sword and run it up between your ribs into your heart where the sack of your heart pours out, you're not going to live through that. And that's what they did. Because the Roman soldiers were always held accountable that the person that they would take down from the cross was dead before they do it. And if they messed up, they'd pay with their life. And so the Roman soldier that knew how to do this, he'd make sure that person was dead. Jesus died. He paid the ultimate price for us. That's the cruelty of the cross. Now I want you to see, secondly, the payment of the cross. Look down at verse 3. Paul says, for what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, of preeminence. There's nothing more important than Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. Why did Jesus really have to die? Well, the Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sins. There had to be an atonement. There had to be somebody who would take the penalty of my sin and your sin. But the only person that could do that was the only perfect person who ever lived, the Son of God, Jesus Christ Himself. And so He became our atonement. Why did He have to die? Because He's the only one who could. He's the only one who could pay the price. He's the only one who was the precious Lamb of God, as John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the whole world. Why did He have to face the cruelty of the cross? Because that specifically was a beautiful picture of the things that God had been giving them all along. And if you do a study on the tabernacle, it's really awesome because it talks about how the tabernacle is laid out. And there's only one gate in. Well, Jesus is the only way, by the way. And then there's the sacrifice, the place of sacrifice. Jesus became the sacrifice. And then there was the place of cleansing. So we've got to ask Him for forgiveness so that we can be cleansed. And then you get to go in and enjoy the table of showbread, the light that comes from the candlestick and the incense. And if you look at that, it's a perfect cross. And oh, by the way, if you do any more studying on the tabernacle, you'll see that all of the people of Israel had to camp in specific areas. And when they camped in specific areas, it could only be east or west or north or south according to their clans. And when you look at it, how many were in each of the clans, if you were standing up on a hill and looking down, guess what you would see? You would see a perfect cross. Now, I don't think that's insignificant at all. In fact, I think it's amazing. Because God was doing for me what I needed, drawing me a picture. He was showing me that this was the way. Jesus had to become our atonement. He had to face the cruelty of the cross. Romans 3:23 simply says it this way, we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There's none of us perfect. No, not one, right? Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says, for the wages, this is what I deserve. The wages of my sin is death or separation from God. But the gift of God is eternal life. How? Through Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says it this way. God demonstrated His love for us. He painted this picture, okay? He demonstrated His love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17 says this, "For this reason he had to be made like them, fully human in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people." Atonement means I'm covered. Now, let me ask you a question. If you need insurance, you go looking for a really good insurance policy, right? Because you don't want something to happen later on and you're not covered. Has that ever happened to you? Yeah, right? Because there's always something that's not covered. You know, I think Curtis, not too long ago, a few years back, there's a house that's right next to you, that big old tree fell. Remember that? And it just smashed their vehicle. You remember that? Man, I mean, it was a huge tree. It was a big old tree. It fell from one of these winds that we have, and it just smashed that vehicle. Now, I can just imagine the conversation with the insurance adjuster. Well, you know, we don't really cover trees falling on cars. I can just imagine that. But the fact is this, what Jesus did on the cross covers everything. There's no little clause. There's no place in there that says, I'll cover almost everything. Jesus covers everything. What he did covers everything according to Scripture. Not only did he atone for our sins, the Bible says he purchased us. He purchased us. Now what's the cost? The cost is ultimate sacrifice. His blood payment purchased us according to Scripture forever. In fact, Revelation chapter 5, verse 9 says, "And they began to sing a new song, saying, You are worthy, Jesus, you're worthy to do this, to take the scroll, to open the seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased for God persons from every tribe and language and people and nation." In other words, you paid the price for every single person. You might say, well, does that mean everybody's saved? No, we'll get there in just a minute. Because we have a part in this as well. We have to receive that. And so that gets us to the promise of the cross. But according to the Scriptures, this was always the plan of God, that Jesus himself would become the sacrificial lamb for us. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 through 20 says, "For you know that it was not with perishable things like silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake." You see, at just the right time, Jesus came, the Scripture says. Why was it just at the right time? Because God knows exactly what he's doing every step of the way. He knows exactly how Jesus was going to have to die. And it was at the time that crucifixion was being used by a group of people who had figured out this is the worst possible way a person could die. And he came to purchase us. Revelation chapter 13, verse 8 says, "All inhabitants of the earth will worship the beast, all those whose names have not been written in the Lamb's book of life, the Lamb who was slain from the creation of the world." Now see this, folks? This didn't just happen. This wasn't a misfortunate accident that happened to Jesus. This was always planned because God knew that he wanted to purchase us and pay the price for us through Jesus. Can you imagine? All those years that Jesus walked here on this earth, he knew that he was born to die, to live again. He knew that. He knew, no matter where he went and who he spoke to, that ultimately, that day, he was going to be arrested. And that he was going to be mocked. And he was going to be spit on. And his beard was going to be pulled out. And he was going to be flogged. And he was going to be beaten beyond, the Scripture says, beyond you couldn't even recognize him as a man, Isaiah said. He knew all this was going to have to happen. so that he could pay the ultimate price for us. I want you to see, thirdly, the promise of the cross, if you're following along. I love this passage of Scripture. The last part of 1 Corinthians 15, beginning in verse 51. It is because Jesus is risen. Look at what it says. Listen, I tell you this mystery. We're not all going to die or sleep. We're all going to be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trumpet. For the trumpet's going to sound and the dead will be raised imperishable. And we shall all be changed. For the imperishable will clothe itself with imperishable and the mortal with immortality. In other words, Paul is saying, listen, because Jesus is risen, because he defeated death, he's also imparted to us that. That, yes, physically someday, this body just going to wear out, it's going to die. But that's not the end. If that was the end, why would we even be here? If that was the end, what's the use? You know, we're just all going to live and die and that's it. But that's not what God says. That's not what the Scripture says. We're going to be changed, the Scripture says, for those who know Jesus. We're going to be changed. The word is, in the Greek, is literally metamorpho or transformed. What was once one thing is now going to become something else. I remember as a young kid, and this will date me a little bit, I used to watch this show on TV called The Incredible Hulk. Dr. David Banner, mild-mannered scientist. When he got irritated or he hurt himself or whatever else, all of a sudden, he'd start morphing into the Incredible Hulk. And he would tear up the whole house and beat up things. And then finally you'd see him laying on the side of the road back in his former body. You remember that? I'm not the only one that saw that show, right? Okay. All right. I didn't think I dreamed that. But anyway, this metamorphosis took place. He didn't have any control over it. It just changed him completely. He didn't look the same. He didn't act the same. He wasn't the same. That's what happens to people who come to know Jesus. God changes us from the inside out. He changes us from the inside out. We become a new person, the Scripture says. In fact, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, it says, if anyone is now in Christ, they become a new creation. The old things pass away, and behold, all things become new. So for those who come to know Christ, for those who trust Him as their personal Lord and Savior, the Scripture says you become the incredible person. Not the Incredible Hulk, but you become the incredible person who God is now living inside of. And He changes us from the inside out. Those, we're going to be changed, no doubt, physically at the last day. The Scripture says we'll have a new body and we'll be changed. But we're also changed spiritually when we're saved at salvation. That's the promise of the cross. Because Jesus is risen, we'll be changed. Because Jesus is risen, according to these passages, death is defeated. Look at this. Verse 54. When the imperishable has been clothed with imperishable and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? Now, I'm just going to get a little personal here. How many of you have ever thought about what it's going to be like to die? Let's be honest. You've thought about it. Okay. All right. Most of you have. All right. We don't look forward to that. I can't say that I'm sitting around going like, man, this might be the day I die. That'd be kind of weird, wouldn't it? Well, I am kind of weird, but anyway. We probably have thought about what's it going to be like. We're all going to face it. The Scripture even says that. It's appointed unto us once to die, and after that the judgment. We're all going to have to go through that. There's no other way. Because we are physical people. And this body is finally going to wear out. Now there's some people you wonder if they're ever going to wear out because they just keep on, they're like Timex watches. They just keep on ticking. They don't stop. But it's going to happen to all of us. But the fact is this, according to His Word, death is swallowed up in victory. Death is swallowed. It's defeated. The victory's already been won. Jesus won the battle over death. by being the only person who was raised from the dead and stayed alive. He won victory over death. He purchased us with His own personal, pure, perfect blood. And then He turns to each one of us and He offers us three things. He offers us salvation. What does that mean, to be saved? Well, the Bible says to be saved means I don't have to worry about, like, for instance, if somebody falls into a deep end of a pool and they don't know how to swim, there's people that are sitting up on a perch, hopefully watching. And what do? They jump in and save them. Keep them from drowning, right? That's what Jesus did for us. He saves us from death. Not physical death. He saves us from eternal death in a place that's not even made for us. He saves us by the washing of regeneration, the renewing of the Holy Spirit, by dying on the cross, by paying for our sins. He now offers every person salvation. But not only that, He offers us an abundant life. John chapter 10, verse 10 simply says it this way. The thief comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. That's what Satan wants to do. He wants to steal your joy, he wants to kill you, and he wants to take you to a place called hell forever. That's what Satan wants to do. You probably don't hear many preachers talking about hell, but I can tell you what, it's there. It's there all through God's Word. It's true. And I'm not trying to sugarcoat anything today. There's only two ways. God's way or your way. Your way, my way, would lead me to that place, separated from God. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus says, I've come that you might have eternal, abundant life. Jesus not only brought us salvation and offers it to us, He offers us an abundant life, and He offers us eternal life to be with Him forever. Now on your outline there this morning, there's one more thing that's missing. So I'm going to give it to you right here. It's up on the screen, and you can also write it down if you'd like to. But because Jesus Christ is risen, He's coming again. He's coming again. The Scripture tells us that. There's going to be a day. Folks, it's going to be awesome. It's going to be awesome. The Scripture says the trumpet's going to blow and the clouds are going to part and Jesus is going to come again. You know how I know He's going to do that? Because He always keeps His word. And He said He was going to come the first time, and He did. And He said He was going to die on the cross, and He did. And He told His disciples that I'm going to prepare a place for you, and I am. And He says, doubtless I will come again, so that where I am, there you will be also. And that's what Jesus does. He keeps His word. At the last trumpet. In fact, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 and 17 says it this way, for the Lord Himself will come from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first, and after that, those of us who are still alive and left will be caught up together with Him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. That's what this day is all about. That's what this day is all about. And we don't mind getting together and letting the kids hunt Easter eggs. It's fun. And I think they found quite a few this morning. But this day is about what Jesus has done for you and for me. This day is about the fact that He was willing to lay His life down and give His life for us so that we could have life. That's what this day is about. I'm going to close this message with a simple video, and then we're going to pray together. Brother Wayne, would you start that?